you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life.
Aren't you sick of hearing about them?
Me too.
The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous. Oh, you've probably seen me. A bunch of times. I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation. My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor. Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us.
We're the ones you don't hear about.
Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits. But there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit. Because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party.
This is You May Have Seen.
Hello, 2021. Trying to get back to it. It's taken a few weeks. COVID's still throwing punches and making it a bit of a challenge to put a show together, but I'm back. I'm here. And I'm excited because today you're going to hear me catch up with a wonderful actor and one of my oldest friends going all the way back to college. It's Gray Hawks. I can't believe it. Gray is enjoying one of the biggest successes of his career right now. We talk about that and try to squeeze in over 25 years of reminiscing into one interview. Let's see if we can do it. Okay, here we go.
So yeah, this is going to be the most on-the-fly interview I've ever done before.
You gave me no notice.
Well, but I was like, you know, I figured, I was like, damn, I should get in contact with Brian. I was like, man, but then I know I'm coming back at least one more time.
Oh, no, right. And I was going to reach out to you today anyway for the same reason. So yeah. You beat me to the punch and you were like, oh, I'm already here. So this is going to be, I love it. This is great. But very little to no preparation, which.
That's okay.
Not that I do a ton normally.
Right.
And with our history.
This I know.
We're just going to talk, man.
I know. We,
first,
sure.
I just want to say, Mr. Hawks!
Mr. LaFontaine! God, I know, right?
How long has it been?
It's been a long time.
How long has it
been?
I
mean, it's just been... I mean, since we've been able to really
right.
talk.
Right, because, I mean, I graduated in 92.
Right.
You hung out for the whole next year?
I hung out because I'm lazy.
But I mean, yeah, but you transferred in. So I always thought that you had a little bit of a gap in between anyway.
Long story short, my advisor, I ended up dropping German, which I shouldn't have dropped. And then I found out the next semester, hey, you dropped German, so you got to stick around. So basically, I had to go to summer school. I had to get
right.
Spanish.
Yeah.
I did the equivalent of 2 years in a two-month summer school session.
Okay.
And that's why I know no Spanish. And anyway, so I stuck around. And then also, but Ep told me, he was like, hey, man, you know, you're getting ready. You know, you can graduate. But he said, you're one, you know, like 3 credits shy of an English major.
Oh.
Because when I was at Brevard, because,
you
know, I transferred
from
Brevard, I had taken so many English courses just because I loved it.
Yep.
And I had certain professors I loved. And then when I went over, you know, transferred into Catawba, so many of the theater classes counted as English courses and vice versa. So he was like, you're really this close. And so I worked it out with the administration and I took a directed study. And so I stuck around, you know, and then I was the head
cheerleader,
the guy over at the
dorm.
Were you
the RA?
Yeah, I was the head RA.
Or resident director, whatever.
I think
it was.
I took
Did you take my gig?
Did I take your place
over? I don't remember. When I left, I left.
Right.
When I graduated,
I was in
Woodson my senior year.
Yeah, totally. I took over your place.
That's fantastic. So you stayed for the entire school year that
Well,
year?
I did because, you know, I had one semester where I was taking the directed study.
Right.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, you don't have to leave if you want to stay. And I was like, I'll stay. So I stuck around, and I was just the
Were you paying to stay?
They paid me to be the resident director of the freshman dorm.
But were you paying tuition still?
No.
Really? Oh, great.
No. I had a whole semester, whole semester, you know, half the year where I was...
Free room and board?
Just at school. Yeah, it was so crazy.
That's so crazy.
How crazy is that?
No joke.
I mean, I think about it now,
right.
And I don't think about it that often, but
right.
you know, like bringing it up right now, and I think,
oh my gosh,
crazy. But yeah. But again, I say I was lazy. I was just like, oh, I'm not ready to do anything. Well, oh, I can stick around and stay in school. And so I did a show. I did Doctor in Spite of Himself for Parkey. So.
Wow. Okay, so you, it was. It was just one of those things because you and I, we were very, very, very good friends.
Absolutely.
We were very good friends.
Totally.
And then when I graduated, it's not like I was that far away. I was 45 minutes away, but I just was out.
Well, you know, but I came to see you do Brighton Beach.
Did you really?
And Broadway Bound.
Oh, my God.
I totally did.
Did I know that?
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
Yeah, I came to see you do those shows, and I remember distinctly I was there on the one evening, and I don't remember. Which show is it where your brother decides he's going to leave town, and you're like, oh,
that's
Broadway Bound?
That's Brighton Beach.
It is
because
Brighton Beach.
He gambles away his mm-hmm. paycheck, and he doesn't know how to come back because he's the only one at the time. The father's out of work,
right.
And you know, it's during the Depression, and so he doesn't know how to tell the family that that he's lost all the money. So he tries to get, you know, the money from me.
Because I remember distinctly, I was there the night where he comes to you and says he's leaving, and I guess you've got some money on your mattress. You got it somewhere.
Yep.
And you're like, you know, and he's you kind of tussle with him, and you fell back on the bed, and the bed fell down on itself.
That was the very last performance.
Okay.
It was a Sunday matinee.
So I was there.
We did, because on the Sunday matinees, we would do both shows in the same day. Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, my God.
You know, he's like, where is it? And he's
right.
trying not to laugh.
And I'm ad-libbing.
And you are. And all you did, you looked down at the bed, like, you know, like
right.
it's under the bed. And the whole audience is just like, going crazy.
I mean,
and
my
then
wheels
you reached down with
spinning.
One arm, yep. I remember, and you pulled it up, and you pulled it up, and then you said, I keep it in a very safe place.
Oh, yeah, but because I mean, again, I'll never forget that because the wheels were spinning like crazy. The thing that sent them over was the bed broke, and he says, you know, he's like, I know you've got, I asked him, how much did you lose? And he says, $17. And I said, my mind was like this, and I just went for it. And I said, $17? Who's going to pay to fix my bed? And that's when the audience just
I forget that part.
And Brian Close, who was the other actor who I'm still friends with today, he just went burp and turned completely off stage. And he had to stand there because
I remember he was shaking. Yeah. But the audience was so with you.
I had never heard laughs like that before in my
life. That's the beauty of live theater that I miss because I haven't done it in a long time. But I miss that immediacy and having the audience with you. And when something messes up, if you're able to cover, I mean, I've seen some great things happen on stage that were unintended that the audience bought into and loved it.
Yep.
That's one of the number one. And I've told friends and, you know, other actors,
hey,
this happened to my buddy on stage.
I cannot believe that.
Isn't that great?
That's so crazy. But unfortunately, life just took us in separate directions. But then you graduated. When you finished, did you just move right back to Wilmington?
Well, we were actually going to be roommates. Do you remember this?
No.
Okay. So you had moved to Charlotte, and I went back out to the Outer Banks, and I was working at Elizabeth II doing their Living History. And I'd done it once before.
Right.
I knew I could have a built-in summer job. I had a girlfriend at the time. And so we moved in together all, you know, living in sin.
Right.
And my plan, because we were in communication, was that I was going to move to Charlotte. I was going to be a roommate.
Oh, my God.
And then one day I'm on the ship. And, you know, we stayed in character 8 hours a day and singing sea shanties and stuff.
Right.
And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But it was the easiest job in the world. But one day, one of the guys that I'd worked with at the Lost Colony came over and he says, hey, what are you doing today? Like lunchtime. And I was like, I'm just hanging out. You know, I'm going to have my lunch. And he said, well, there's a company here that I've worked with. They're from Richmond called Theater 4. And they're a touring children's theater company. And he said, I think you'd do really well with them. He said, why don't you go over there and audition? Because it would be about lunchtime for you. And I said, I don't know. I've got like one monologue I know, and you know, I don't really have any songs worked up. He said, sing one of the sea shanties. And I had really long hair at the time. I had a ponytail down the, you know, a terrible mullet.
Yeah, I mean, and, I remember when you had fairly long hair back in that day.
Well, it was a mullet. It was terrible.
It was great.
But anyway, make a long story short, I was like, okay. And I went over there and I auditioned. Mm-hmm. I sang this sea shanty for them, and they plucked out some notes on the thing. And I did the one monologue, I guess, that I remembered from school.
Yep.
And I got a job. And the only person I knew in Richmond was John.
Mr. Moncure. I was going to ask you.
He was the only person I knew. And I called him up. I said, hey, I got this job. You know, can I crash with you for a week or two until I find a place? And he was like, Mr. Hawks. He's like, I need a roommate. And he needed a roommate. And it just was like, blah, blah, blah. You know, it all worked out. And then I felt so bad because right. I had, you know, I
we were making
told
plans.
You we were making
wow.
plans. And I was going to move here.
Great memory.
And then it didn't happen. And then I Damn. Moved there. And then John and I were roommates for years. And I don't know where John is now.
Really?
I tried to track him down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about him often. He contacted me many, many, many years ago. And then my dad had his first heart attack.
Oh,
and
man.
Things were just up in the air. And yeah. then by the time I... And this is, you know, with answering machines and all.
Sure.
The message was erased and the number was gone. And I don't
man.
Know. So I'm still... I've got to track him down.
Of course.
Because I
of
love
course.
John.
What a wonderful... Interesting, unique
oh
personality
gosh.
He was.
Let's go play. You know,
yeah, that's
go
right.
Play,
you
know?
Used to do that too.
Well, I mean, I got it all from John, you know,
right.
because he was so dynamic and he was just so naturally gifted in acting, but he would just he never applied himself.
No.
A genius actor.
Oh my God!
But and such energy and such a unique thing he had that I don't know where he is now.
Do you remember? We took, you and I took stage, speech, and movement together
oh,
with
yeah.
Dana and John. And remember we had to do that final movement presentation
yes.
to a song or whatever you had to do?
Oh, I remember it distinctly.
And I ended up having John as a partner.
Yes.
And like we did everything that you weren't supposed to do. And it was fantastic.
It was.
Like, and you guys, everybody, like, Dana was like, fine. But you guys were like, oh, my God.
Oh, we loved it. But it was like, I remember he was, like,
it was like death,
you were pushing
death at the playground.
In a swing. And you were playing, weren't you playing, like,
shiny,
the
happy,
Robin Hood soundtrack?
Shiny Happy People.
What
and then we, yes, and then we blended it into the Robin Hood soundtrack.
And at the end, you know, it's all happy and
yes.
everything. And then at the end, he crashes and he's going in slow motion on the floor. And he comes down and it becomes all this tragic thing. It was all this happiness. And then all of a sudden, it's the most tragic, horrible thing. Bring tears to your eyes. And he's hitting the floor in slow motion. And his face is smushing to the floor. And he's like, in pain. And I remember it so, yeah. Oh, yeah,
oh my
totally.
God.
And Dana just
oh
couldn't be
God.
Excited about anything
no.
necessarily.
Oh, she hated it. She
oh.
hated it. But I got the passing grade that I needed.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I love Dana. I mean, you know,
oh,
it's
I
all those professors.
It. I haven't thought about that in
I learned
forever.
So much.
Oh, my God.
Isn't
I haven't
it the best, though?
In 25
I mean,
years.
I remember it so distinctly.
I do.
But
know.
I mean, you guys had the best one. And then Carlotta,
yeah.
the one that she did, she started speaking in tongues. Do you remember that?
Well, I was her partner. I don't really remember. No,
there was a moment
was
and she started speaking in tongues.
Oh,
and Dana was asking her about it. And
yeah, but wow, you got an incredible memory. Wow,
I
that's
have
amazing.
A decent memory for certain things.
Yeah.
Other things, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember we would all, the four of us kind of hang out. Wasn't there a time we Didn't
oh
we,
yeah!
Didn't we steal that boat behind?
Oh,
that was
we
in the
it was
lake?
One of our adventures. We
yeah.
went to play.
We went.
It was a Saturday.
Went and got that
and,
boat
yep.
and dug it up and went.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
and then like buried it back. I, you know the thing.
I think secretly, like you and John wanted to live out Stand By Me.
Oh
in some
my
way.
God! Yeah, I mean, I've got crazy stories and crazy stories that I probably never told you of things we did.
Maybe
like the first night when I moved to Richmond, the first night I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's dark out. I don't know what time it was. And
yep.
John's like, well, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where are we going? Come. I'm like, okay. And we start, you know, I don't think we even drove there. We were like walking down the street in Richmond.
Yeah.
And we come to this, we're like in downtown Richmond. And we come to the Central Fidelity building in Richmond,
oh my
which
God.
At the time was the tallest building in Richmond. And
yeah.
I think it still is. And there's like this fire escape, and John's like, climb. I'm like, what? No, I'm not going to climb this thing. He's like, do it, Mr. Hawks, we climb. And we start climbing up this building. And I'm not kidding you. We climbed the fire escape all the way up.
Whoa.
And we get to this one point. I'm looking down, and I see, you know, like through a skylight, I see a security guard walking by. I'm like,
oh, my God. We're going to get arrested.
Kill ourselves or get arrested or both. And we climbed all the way up the Central Fidelity building. We're on the top of this. And we just stood up there, and I'm looking at the city, and then there was an ambulance in the distance, and I'm watching it come from all the way one side.
Oh, my God.
And getting closer, and then going all the way other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this magical, amazing thing where he was just like, let's play. And we did. And we it was insane. Awesome time.
Well, as we sit here and continue to reminisce, gosh, we've gone well into this, and I haven't even introduced you yet. This is fantastic. I am so excited to be sitting here with my dear old friend, Gray Hawks. Gray and I went to Catawba College together way back in the late 1900s, and he is here working right now in town, and we've been trying to set this up, and I'm so glad that this worked out, even though it was at a moment's freaking notice. I'll take
awesome.
It. I will absolutely take it. It's so great to see you.
Yeah, we could literally sit here for hours and hours talking about old times.
Yes.
I mean, there's just so much stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when you guys were in the theater department at school and you and I became friends by association, because I was technically in the department as a communications major, you know, I always loved seeing you on stage. I always loved watching you on stage. You were by far one of my favorite, you know, student actors to watch, because I saw you do Angel's Portion.
Oh, the Angel's Portion.
Angel's Portion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you and Shane Atchison. Yeah. He reached out to me recently.
I love Shane.
Yeah. So after you finished and you did theater for, like, did you do theater for a while? How did you end up back in Wilmington?
Oh, boy.
Down in Wilmington. Because I know, first of all, you come from the teeny tiny town of Hamlet, North Carolina.
Hamlet, yeah.
Yes, population 12.
That's really, yeah. And when I left, it was 11, and now, you know, it's still 11. No, it's about 7,000, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah, it is teeny, but it's because of Hamlet, but more importantly, my dad.
Yeah.
So I was living in Richmond, and I just hit a point. Things were going on, you know, ready to get out of town.
Yeah.
My brother was going to UNCW.
Okay.
And my dad was a conductor on the train there in Hamlet for CSX, or Seaboard Coastline.
That sounds familiar.
So he was always going to Wilmington, among other places. Mm-hmm. He'd come up to Charlotte. And he'd always say, why don't you move to Wilmington? They're doing all this movie stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm a theater actor. I'm not going to do, I don't want to do film and TV. Ugh.
Wow.
You know, I just wasn't interested, but I didn't know anything about it. I guess it scared me. And, but Dad was like, oh, you should go. And I was just like, you know, why not? I'll go for a year or so. And my brother needs a roommate. So I moved to Wilmington 2 days before Hurricane Fran hit.
Oh my God.
So smart. And my parents were like, my dad was like, why are you moving? The hurricane's about to hit. And I'm like, oh, it's out there. It could go anywhere, which is true, but it hit us and it was bad. But
And
just the summer before, or that summer, I was working at King's Dominion doing their Mega Messamania show.
Oh,
I played the professor of slimology.
Was that when they first got taken over by Paramount?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
I worked at Carowinds.
You did yours here for
1 year.
Right.
The summer.
Yeah, I only did the one, and I had a ball. I had fun.
I
played the red host and the blue host, we slimed kids and stuff.
Wow.
It was like Double Dare.
Yeah, see, I was a Star Trek dude.
Yeah.
Walking around wearing full body spandex.
Well, you know.
And a rubber nose. I was a Bajoran, so I mean, I had like, honestly, the least obtrusive.
Right, you had that little thing.
Yeah,
right,
the earring that clipped from top to bottom. And then that was it. So King's Dominion.
Yeah, so I did that, and then I kind of moved slowly. I was staying with my friends, Scott and Paula, Scott Burrell.
Oh my God, yeah, Scott.
So I was living with Scott, because Scott had moved up there to go to grad school, and I actually went for a year, and then I was like, it's not for me. But Scott continued on. He's teaching now down in Louisiana. But
wow.
Anyway, so I moved in with those guys, and I was slowly, every weekend I would come back and forth from Wilmington to Richmond to finish out my contract for King's Dominion. There I was. The hurricane hit.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a job. Nothing was going on. Finally got a job waiting tables and got in with this good company.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with them forever and
wow.
slowly but surely started kind of getting into a little bit of theater locally.
Yeah.
And then eventually started getting into just extra stuff because there was a lot more going on back then.
Sure.
Seemed like Hallmark was just, everything was Hallmark.
Every week there was something new, it seemed like.
And I just kind of, I did a little bit more and more and more. And
yep.
But I really didn't make the plunge, like, to say, hey, I'm going to stop doing theater and just pursue the TV film commercial whatever
right,
thing.
Right, right.
Until like 9 years ago
yeah.
or so.
Okay.
Really when I decided, because I'd go on an audition here and there, but it wasn't, I wasn't very committed to it.
Sure. Well, know? Actually here, looking at your IMDb page, that's pretty spot on. Things didn't really, like, you've got one credit from 1996 and then it jumps to 2012.
Exactly.
And everything is from 2012 up to now. So yes, my good friend Greyhawks, who you may have seen in American Warships with Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah.
I checked that out.
Yeah.
I looked at that clip. I was like, oh my God, Mario Van
Peebles.
Isn't
that awesome?
Sleepy Hollow, Reckless as the medical examiner, which you're perfect. Perfect
that was
as the
fun.
Medical examiner.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that show unfortunately was too short-lived.
I know,
that,
right?
Yeah, I think
what,
I auditioned
season,
for it
and
once
it?
And that was, yeah. The Inspectors, one of my nemesises, one of the shows that, like, we would get, I feel like, auditions every week for that show and never got booked on it.
Army Wives was mine, you know, I read for that so many
times. If you've listened to the podcast, then you know that I probably got you beat on Army
mm-hmm.
Wives. What yeah. was your number? Do you remember?
I don't know, 20-some maybe?
37.
Yeah, wow.
37.
Yeah.
I literally auditioned the entire spectrum length of the show, from the
wow.
pilot to the series finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, 37 times. It was crazy. Mercy Street, Swamp Murders. These
oh,
are
that was
when we last spoke, you worked with Joanne Hawk a couple
sure
years ago.
Did.
And Darby and Lacey Camp, who are good
right.
friends of mine,
yeah.
and a lot of other people.
And now my wife in this new show, Alicia.
Oh, Alicia's playing your wife?
Yeah, she plays my wife.
That's
how crazy.
Great.
Is that?
That is great. You worked on Outer Banks, the hit Netflix show.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned earlier the whole thing about doing your episode, the Jason Bateman thing.
Oh, Ozark,
that,
yeah.
Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that it's such a big show.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody, same thing with me with Outer Banks.
Yeah.
You know, I had like, it might have been a 5-minute scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it came out perfect storm right in the middle of this stay-at-home stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Right?
Right.
And so I knew it was going to come on Netflix, and I just kind of kept an eye out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day it was supposed to air, I go on Netflix. I'm like, oh, and it pops up. Whoa. You know, it was the first thing mm-hmm. that popped up. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I go straight to my episode, of course. Am I there? Am I cut? I'm like, oh, I'm there. It's cool. Well, I haven't even watched the show.
Right.
There's so much stuff to watch.
Right.
And I will watch it. But I haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah.
And everybody in the world coming out of the woodwork
yeah.
saying, oh my God, I saw you on Outer Banks.
Right.
And
right.
then a really good friend of mine from way, way back, we did Lost Colony together. And she said, I was watching and I was like, I think that's Gray. And then she said, and I saw you writing with your left hand. And
oh,
I remembered that
geez.
We had that in common. And I knew it was you.
Wow.
Of course, and then she saw the credits.
Right.
But how funny is that, you know?
Yes. So you decided 9 or 10 years ago to finally take the plunge.
Sure.
And then you just got recently the biggest hit of your career.
True.
Which
yeah.
we won't give too much specifics
right.
away, but I mean,
yeah.
how, talk to me about that a little bit. Just the whole experience, how it happened, when it happened.
Sure.
Like,
well,
whoa. Is it
I
a little
really...
life-changing for you?
Well, the jury is still out on that.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
in many ways. I mean, so being vague about it, I guess.
Yeah. Can we go so far as to say that you've been working as a recurring guest star on an upcoming series?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yes.
So basically, I, you know, with all COVID and all this
mm-hmm.
craziness, and auditions had dried up so much
oh, yeah.
that I thought, well, you know, I'm done with that. You know, I thought
yeah.
acting was going to be out of the question for at least a year or
yeah.
two or maybe longer.
I'm still spooked by it. Trust me.
Well,
I just
sure.
Got, yeah.
And then just when things kind of opened up, I suddenly got a few auditions. I auditioned for this thing. And then I hear back maybe a week later my agent's like, "Hey, they like you. You're on hold for this particular role." It was a day player.
Right.
It was a single scene, and
right.
It was a great little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, "Awesome! I can't believe it. That's great. I'm on hold. Okay." But you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
You get on hold, and you're like, you can't get that excited being held.
It's like, let me know. Just
pinned
know.
For something.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yep.
Better not. Just don't even tell me.
Yep.
Which that's happened to me too.
Yep.
Like later they go, "Oh, by the way, you're not on hold anymore." And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, "I didn't know I was on hold, but okay.
Great.
Well, I know
I'm glad I got
money.
So close."
Anyway, so I was on hold for this thing. I'm like, "Oh, cool, you know." And I'm, you know, not to be a pessimist about mm-hmm. things, but I, you know, we know the reality of this job.
Right.
And things change so quickly. And you have something 1 second, and if
mm-hmm.
the ink's not dry, you don't have it, you know, you just don't know.
Yep.
So, and then my agent contacted me and she said, "Hey, they really like you. They want you to read for a bigger role."
Oh, okay.
I said, "Sure, okay." And they're like, "You got to have it on tape by tomorrow morning at 10. It was
Whoa.
Like 4 or 5 pages or something. And I'm freaking out because I'm not really a quick study.
Huh.
I mean, I need a little time with the script to get it in my brain. And,
right.
But I can do it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, I got it done. I got it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a totally different character than what I'd played.
Sure.
And then my agent messages me a couple of days later, and she said, "Hey, the casting director wants you to call them." And I know this casting director.
Yeah.
You do too.
Right.
I love her. And so, you know, I call her. We catch up for like 10 minutes. We're talking politics and everything else, and it's great. And at the end, she said, "Oh, yeah, for this role, yeah, just do it like you did the other guy. They liked what you did with him, but
mm-hmm.
do it with this guy."
Hmm.
I said, "Okay."
Wow.
So I put that on tape, you know, the different way.
Yeah.
Didn't hear anything, and I kind of, you know, wiped my hands of that.
Sure.
Oh, well, you know, it was fun, whatever.
A
couple of days later, I'm driving around, I'm coming home, my agent sends me a message, and she says, "Hey, can you call me?" And I'm like, "Sure." You know, anytime an agent wants you to call them, it's hopefully good news.
Right.
Or something interesting.
Right.
So I call her up and she goes, "Hey, they really like you. They want you to read for another role." And I was like, "Okay." But she says, "But the producer wants you to call him." And I don't freak out, but I was freaking out.
Yeah.
It was freaking me out.
Yeah.
And I know who the big producer is,
right.
Which was really freaking me out.
Yeah.
And I had to go, "Is it this person?" And they're like, "No." But it's this
no
other.
One, no one talks to that
the
person.
The other. I mean, they're all big, you know. And I'm all like, So anyway, I'm freaking out. And she sent the sides over. And she said, "Just give them a call and talk to them." And so anyway, make a long story short, I call him up. And he just said, "Hey, we love what you're doing. And I'm a fan." Which is extremely flattering.
Right.
And you never hear this kind of thing.
Right.
You just don't hear it.
Yep.
And I was like, "Thank you so much. I appreciate it."
And if it's the person that I think you're talking about, such a nice guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a nice guy. Yeah.
So I was like, thank you. And he's like, "You know, we want you on the show, and we just can't decide which bad guy to let you play with."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh,
what?
Ooh, I get to be a bad guy, maybe?"
No,
you know,
joke.
And even at this point, I'm still thinking it's still all up in the air.
Right.
Anyway, I get it on. I get this. You talk to him. "Thank you so much. Whatever." I get this other guy on tape. I don't hear anything. I'm wiping my hands of it. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm done. You know, well, that was fun.
Man, oh, man.
And then my agent's like, "You bugged it." I'm
wow.
like, "Yeah." And then I, you know, and I think I feel like I got the best role of the three, really.
That's unbelievable. That's incredible.
And then my agent was like, "Well, you're in a lot of episodes." And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, what's a lot? I'm thinking
right.
2, 3, 4, you know. She's like, "Oh, yeah, you're in 7 episodes. Of an 8-episode season." And I'm like, "What?" You know? So, yeah.
Wow.
So here I am.
That
you
is
know?
Freaking great, man.
Yeah.
That is so, so great.
Well, for me, it really felt like it was is exactly what it was. It was the stars lining up, because I feel like they were trying to cast some of the smaller, more supporting roles locally.
Right.
Due to COVID, especially.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, they may have anyway, but, you know, before COVID,
mm-hmm.
BC,
yeah,
you know,
right.
they would, you know, they might fly somebody in for a one-liner, two-liner
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
And I guess it was just a perfect storm for me. And so I've been, you know, I've been coming back up back and forth, and working on this, which fantastic. Has been, you know, any time I'm on a set, it's that moment of you hit that point. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm so lucky that I'm here, that I'm doing what I love to do, you know, because sometimes you may go, you know, a long time without being able to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Talk to me about working during the time of COVID.
Oh, it's great.
But
No.
I mean, well, seriously. It is great to be working. Sure,
no,
but
no. Well, I'm, you know,
the
I'm
things that go silly. Along with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, it's testing mm-hmm. constantly. It's testing.
Yeah. When I worked on the show, I was there for one day and I'd been tested four times.
Yeah. It's testing before you travel, because I am traveling from Wilmington. Mm-hmm. Testing before you travel is testing 2 days or so before you're on set. Mm-hmm. You test a day before, double, you know, before the day before, and then the day before the day, and then the day of you test. And then sometimes you'll test in the middle of the day or at the end of the day when you're walking out the door. It's just so they can track it all down if somebody is positive.
Right.
You're wearing your mask 24/7. The only time you don't have it is when you're just about to film. And then it's, okay, you're in this zone. And
yep.
And then everyone around you that's anywhere near you, other than the actors, have their face mask go on.
The shield.
With the shield.
Yep.
So I appreciate it, of course.
I got that phone call after I worked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I worked on a Friday. I got a phone call on Sunday saying one of the people from this department just tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
That you had direct contact with.
Sure.
And, you know, there was that initial like, oh, you know, and then of course, as I thought it through, which is what the whole protocols are put in place for, is that one, they were masked and shielded the entire time.
Sure.
Masked and or shielded the entire time, especially when we were interacting directly.
Absolutely.
You know, and just have to have, so they were like, hey, come on in, we'll do a rapid test for you, you know, first thing tomorrow morning, which I did, and thankfully it came back negative, and you know, but yeah, it's a whole new thing. It is a whole new thing,
right? And I've had that happen too on this. So
I'm sure you have,
you know. And then when it does, you know, they're great about it, being able to track it down. And you know how crazy it is on a film set, potentially, anyways.
Oh yeah.
And then you throw that into the mix.
Forget it.
You know, and it is a kind of craziness. It is it's a very structured craziness, generally.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're on a great set.
Yeah.
You know, it's very structured and that's great. But this, to throw this in the mix, it's a whole new thing.
Well, I mean, the idea of hurry up and wait in the film and television industry, boy, that's been amplified times 100 now.
Big
because
time.
You're not allowed to get near anybody until it's time. So, nothing but ice. There's no going through the lunch lines together. There's no just heading over to craft service or whatever. You know, I'm going to be interested to see. You know, I'm trying my best to be optimistic and hopeful that we can somehow turn the corner on this. So anyway, enough of the doubt. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I hope it continues to go well. So is this all you're doing now full time?
No,
you're okay.
I'm still a starving actor waiting tables.
Are you still waiting tables?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you want to give them a well, how has that been through this? Is the restaurant still open? Did they have to shut
down?
Well,
I'm lucky. I work at a place that is, you know, it's an upscale steakhouse.
Nice.
And so we have the room to be spaced out.
Sure.
And we wear masks, and we have sanitation stations everywhere. And I've never felt unsafe with it. And the majority of my guests that come in say, we really wouldn't go and eat anywhere else.
Wow.
Or we wouldn't have come out.
Yeah.
But it's this anniversary, it's this birthday, special occasion stuff.
Sure.
So, no, I'm still doing that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as far as, you know, you were saying the life-changing aspect, I don't, you know, that's why I say the jury's still out. I'm not sure how much to be like, oh, it's changed my life, because I don't know yet,
right?
You know, if I'm on season 5 or 6, right, you know, in a few years, I might have a different answer for that. You know,
I would think so.
Because I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Of course,
you know?
of course.
Which has been another really interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, going on with this.
Yep.
This particular show. Because you just don't know. You know, you get scripts, you know, here and there, and then you get a new draft, and it's like, am I going to be, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Right.
And I don't know. God.
So what has the journey been like for you, man, this whole time? You thought you were going to be a theater actor, which is, I'm sure, just like me, in hindsight, you go, what the hell was I thinking? How forget waiting tables. You make even less money doing theater for
a living. I know.
Yeah.
Well, especially, you know, of course, I moved to Wilmington, which has a wonderful theater community and amazing actors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can't get paid doing it. But, yeah, it's, you know, I love it. I miss it. I would do theater 24/7.
Oh.
I would do it constantly.
Totally.
And I tell anyone that asks me, you know, like whenever friends or guests at you know, at this restaurant will say, oh my gosh, you know, you're gonna be rich and famous someday and we need your autograph now. And it's flattering, but I'm always very humble and very real about it and go, yeah, well, I'll give you that autograph another time.
Because you know I'm 50, right?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. But I don't want to be rich and famous. I just want to be able to do what I love to do.
Yep.
And but just pay the bills.
Yeah.
Enough to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Maybe be a little comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. Exactly. Have some room to breathe. For
rich
sure.
and famous. Yeah, I'd take it. But fame isn't always the best thing in the world.
No.
I'd take rich before fame. Plenty of famous people that are miserable, and vice versa.
Same to you. Same as you. I love doing theater. Like Colleen even says, she's like, you're a different person when you're doing a play.
Oh.
And, you know, and so that's why I feel like every 2 or 3 years I have to, you know, it's like, okay, it's time now. And I'm very particular about what I do and who I'm working with, for sure.
Yeah, me too. There's a certain depression that sets in for me.
Yeah.
And I realized it, you know, years ago when I decided at a point to take a break from theater. And it and the reason I did Hamlet. I played Hamlet in a production.
Did you really?
With the
good for you.
You know, just a beautiful, amazing cast and local production.
Yep.
Parkey came.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Sennett came.
Oh, my God.
The two Dr. Sennetts came.
Yeah.
I mean, it really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And we saw it. We did it the year after 9/11. We opened the year to the day of 9/11. And I remember we were scared to death that that we would be empty. Like, who's going to come out and see a show a year from 9/11?
Right.
And we were sold out.
Awesome.
And we were scared to death. But we were scared to death, you know, that we were going to be like crickets. And I remember the director, his name's Scott Simpson, he came out, gave this beautiful curtain speech. Mm-hmm. It chokes me up to even think about it. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, of course, 9/11. He talked about, you know, the plane that went down. And he said, and, you know, one of the last words was, "Let's roll." And he said, "Well, this is how we roll." And it just tore me. We're all backstage crying.
Before
then, I got to go out there and be Hamlet, you know, and sword fight.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we sold out every night of that run. You know, we did 2 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But after I did that, I'm like, well, you know, I've accomplished, you know, in my mind, I played Hamlet. Everything else is down from here. I'm not going to do theater for a while.
Right.
And then, you know, at that point, I was toying around with the film and TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I got an audition right after that for Big Fish.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one line. Mm-hmm. And it was something like, "You go get him, Mr. Bloom."
Oh, my
something.
Gosh.
It was like one line. He's leaving town. I don't remember. And I go to do this one line. You know, I go to this audition. And I did it. And I forget who the casting agent was offhand. But she goes, try it again. just do it. Just say it, you know. So I do it again, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, just try it again. And I'm sitting in my mind, I'm thinking, I just played Hamlet, and I can't do one line of this movie. You know, I'm like,
I am Hamlet.
I'm like, I'm Hamlet. You know, it's that ego thing, you know. Oh, and I can't even. And then I was all down on myself. I'm like, couldn't even do it, you know. Didn't get cast, of course. And I don't think I did any film or anything for years and years after that. I mean, I still just toyed around with stuff, but it was technique. I was still trying to play Hamlet.
Well, that's just it. Yes.
I was still playing that big, you know,
while you were asking for a cup of coffee.
Well, yeah, basically.
Yes.
Right. And
could you do it again, except don't do it as Hamlet.
Right. 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 And it was just, you know, just act, but don't act. When right. you're doing film, it's, you know, it's not this. It's right. not like to the back row. It's just all right here. So it was a valuable lesson, you know.
That's awesome.
Very valuable. That's incredible.
Lesson. There's a lot of stories like that. I know that I've had, you know, numerous like that along the way. Good gosh.
Oh,
over
sure,
the years.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every actor has that stuff.
Yeah, because, yeah. you know, you're doing theater and you're like, okay, this is, I'm going to start taking bigger risks now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to get you out of your head of like.
Yeah, we all can't be a Nicolas Cage, you right. know, that can rip up a, you know, a table and.
Oh, my God.
You know, but, you know, I just saw this this interview with Martin Freeman, and he was going through, and he was talking about all the roles, you know, somebody's
You
doing.
Could be Martin Freeman.
Well, it's
you
funny.
You could totally be Martin
it's
Freeman.
It's funny. I get that every once in a while. Yeah. People say,
"Yep,
well, you have similar mannerisms, and you almost kind of look alike a little.
Yeah, you do.
And so I don't know if you remember this thing years ago on Facebook where actors were posting their first headshots.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember
gosh.
This thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a little was thing around. For yeah, like yeah, a yeah. month. Yeah. And all these, every actor was like posting their early headshots. So me just being a smartass, mm-hmm. I found Martin Freeman's first headshot
Did you
online,
really?
And I posted it. And I had so many people go, do you know that you look like Martin Freeman? And I was like, it is Martin Freeman. Now, a few people got it immediately, but... Many, many did not.
I'm sure. I'm like, not surprised by that.
But I was like, well, you know, I kind of do favor.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I did more so. But the thing that in this interview he was talking about, you know, he's going through his career, but he was talking about how now, he said, I like to just not act, meaning he's trying not to do
right.
anything
right.
now, you know, and pull it back so much
yep.
that, you know. You're not acting. And that's the thing that, you know, I have friends that I bump into and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'd love to, you know, that aren't actors. And they go, oh, I'd love to be in so-and-so. I'd love to.
Right.
I'm like, you could. You know, you need to learn. I mean, I'm not saying just anybody can do
it. Of course.
But on one hand, just anybody could do it.
I know.
As long as they have enough technique,
right.
in my opinion. That's
sure.
just my opinion.
Oh, no.
Give them a little bit of technique.
Because
I have seen people who,
yeah,
you know, they
yes.
get cast and
yes.
they're not actors.
Yes. And you never had any inspirations or aspirations to go to New York?
I always was of the mind, I'll go to New York when I have a reason to go to New York, like, which is a bad way to think about it.
That is a bad way to
think
about it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, because
like,
then you're never going to, yeah.
I'll go when they call for Grey Hawks to come to... Terrible idea.
And let me also say, I can't believe I haven't said this yet. You do know that you've got one of the best names in show business. Like, I know that your first name is Alfred.
Ooh.
I did.
Yes.
Yes. I'll edit that out. But
no,
you know that, I, like, out. With the name Grey Hawks, you were not meant to be in any other industry.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
You've got one of the coolest names in fucking show business.
Right.
Grey Hawks. I mean, who doesn't want Grey Hawks in their cast?
Right.
Yeah. And he's going to come in and he's going to whip somebody's ass and he's going to have sex with some ladies.
Well, I would love to whip ass and have sex with ladies. That would be great. Yeah, you know, but you know, I'm a junior. I'm named after my dad.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
So it was really a name where my mom, when I was born, thought mm-hmm. I was going to be a girl and I pop out a boy and she had all these girls' names picked out. I was going to be Fanny Chanel, like
oh,
a great grandmother.
Oh, God.
All these,
I so
you
wish
know.
You still were.
Yeah.
Because that'd be another good showbiz name.
Well, yeah.
If you were still doing vaudeville.
Hey, this guy, Fanny Chanel. Yeah. Yeah. Watch me spin the plates and I can hula hoop. But yeah, so my mom, by default, my mom was like, you know, she said she would hold me and rock me and go, oh, mm-hmm. I don't know, Jeffrey. George. I don't know. She tried all these names, and she said Gray. And she told my dad, "Let's name him after you." And Dad was like, "Oh, I don't want anyone to call him Alfred. I hate the name because Dad always went by Gray."
Yeah.
So they named me Gray, and I it was like third grade
mm-hmm.
when I realized I had a first name.
Oh wow!
I remember it. The teacher was calling roll the first day of school, and she's saying Alfred. Alfred.
Oh, wow.
Alfred. Nobody's raising their hand. I'm like, who's this Alfred kid? And then she goes, Alfred Grey Hawks, you know, and I'm like, I raised my hand.
Wow.
And she goes, you know your name's Alfred. I'm like, it's Grey. What are you talking about? You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is great.
But yeah, I mean, it's, and people do when they meet me and they go, "You're an actor. Oh, well, Greyhawks.
Is that your stage name? Yeah.
I'm like, no, just, I lucked into a good name.
Yep. Well, same thing with me. People ask if LaFontaine is my,
yeah,
my real name or not. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not smart enough to make up something like that. Not at all.
But it rolls off the tongue, Brian LaFontaine. You know, it's like,
I guess.
Mr. LaFontaine. You know?
Oh, yeah, no. People like to take it and either sing it or yes, or over dramatize it in a lot of ways. I guess it's fun for people to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. So for those people who do decide to wake up one morning and pursue this business, what would you tell them?
In particular, if you're talking film, TV, commercial stuff,
yeah,
is don't do it. No, 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 do it. I was, somebody reached out to me recently. One of my good friends, his niece,
mm-hmm,
or niece-in-law or something. I don't know. Anyway, reached out and said, hey, she's doing her high school project,
mm-hmm,
and she's doing it on actors. She's interested in being a director someday. And I said, awesome. Yeah, you know, she can interview me. And so during this whole stay-at-home thing, mm-hmm, she interviewed me. And we had the best time. It was great. And she's like, what advice would you give me for being wanting to get into this, mm-hmm, and be a director? And I was like, take acting classes, you know?
Yeah.
Because the best directors I've ever had, mm-hmm, either started out as actors,
right,
or they took acting classes.
Yep.
And of course, you got to take all the other technical stuff too, which is wildly important. But you know, for somebody that's interested, I would just say find a good mentor,
mm-hmm,
and take some classes. Get in front of a camera. Put a camera. You know, buy it or even use your cell phone now. I mean, they're right, better than a normal camera.
Yeah.
And hook it up to a TV and just sit there and make funny faces and learn a monologue and recite it. And then, you know, just find somebody that can kind of give you some advice, because I didn't really have that. I mean, when we went to school,
right,
there was no film courses.
No.
At least none that I took.
No.
And, you know, so the business of it, mm-hmm, you know, it was trial and error for me. And it still is,
yeah,
you know, a lot of it.
I wonder if Catawba's department has changed in that way.
I'm sure.
I
don't know. I mean, I bet so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would hope so.
Jeez. I don't know. I don't think there's anyone left there except for maybe David Pulliam. I think David
is
still there.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think been back there Dana retired, I think, a few years ago.
Huh.
Ep did a while back.
So crazy.
Yeah, that's something.
Well, man, I cannot thank you enough for texting me this morning and saying, hey, I'm here in town.
Hey, you got a moment.
I'm so glad that we were able to do this.
It's
so great to catch up with you, even for just a little while.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I hope that the show becomes a raging success and that you continue to work and it gives you some kind of support and safety and means to grow for quite a while.
Yeah,
but,
right.
I love you. It's good to see your face.
Yeah.
You have been listening to my good friend Greyhawks. This has been You May Have Seen. Thank you so much. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.